This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What you are looking at right now is what is believed to be the alleged suspect vehicle in the Devil's Den murder just outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas. This is exclusive video obtained by True Crime Today from a private residence just outside of the park on one of the roadways, depicting what we believe to be the black four-door sedan, possibly a Mazda, Acura, or BMW, at a high rate of speed with a very loud exhaust, which can be heard in the actual video. This is a slowed down frame by frame shot of it. This has been handed over to the authorities as well, by the way, but you are seeing it here first on True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. Authorities also releasing this afternoon that image. The man with his back to the camera is believed to be the person who took the lives of that family at the Devil's Den State Park in Northwest Arkansas on Saturday. The man who took the lives of Clinton and Kristen Brink. A family who is brand new to the area, only in the town for about 3 weeks, settling in a town named Prairie Grove, just outside of Fayetteville. I actually lived there myself for a period of time. It's a small bedroom community, very quiet, lots of antique stores. In fact, I walked around downtown Prairie Grove on Sunday asking the shop owners, "Did you hear about this?" And the response I got was, "Huh? I didn't know that was going on." 24 hours into a double homicide, mere minutes away with a couple murdered who lived in that town. Communication has been an issue on this one from day one. I'm told that it's better now, hopefully. There's a new phone number that apparently works. We've been going on this for the last 4 days now, saying, "Your phone line doesn't work. How do we know that? We tried calling it. A lot of you guys have tried calling it. And let us know we can't get through. We have information. We want to tell the police, the authorities about it, but your phone number doesn't work." Well, finally it does. 501-618-TIPS, 501-618-TIPS is the new phone number the authorities are saying to call if you have information. If you were there that day, images, video, anything that you may not even think is important, they would like to take a look to try and identify who this man, in fact, actually is. There's also a link that you can follow. That link you can find on my Twitter or X. You can find me at Tony B, as in boy pod, at Tony B pod on Twitter. That link is on the post that has this image on it as well, posted today, which is the 29th of August here in the afternoon hours, in case you're having to scroll back a little bit to find that link. Clinton and Kristen were on the trail not alone. They were there with their daughters, age 7 and 9. Exclusive reporting that we have right here from True Crime Today describes the horror of what took place that very day. Here's our interview with the 911 dispatcher who heard it firsthand from Clinton and Kristen's children, who fled the scene at their mother's request.
From what I understand, the children were found by another set of adults. I'm not sure how many or if they were, you know, a couple or whatever. Another dispatcher took that portion of the call, and They found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said, she said one of the girls said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore. That part still gets me. I have children as well.
Sure. No, I do too. I'm the same age as the parents, and I have a daughter very close to the same age, and we've hiked in that same place. And
I was just there not long ago with my family, and my kids are a little older, but I mean, I've had kids in my life my entire life. And it's just there's certain things that you have a soft spot for, no matter how seasoned we are in dispatch. It's
sure.
Just some things just kind of get you. And
let's go back to the mother saying, run as far and as fast as you can. There's been reports that the father was initially, these are unconfirmed, that the father was initially attacked. The mom got back to the car with the kids and then she went back. Can you confirm or dispel any of that?
I can't confirm that. It's not lining up with what I believe we were told in our initial call.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, other people found the kids running and crying, and they heard their mom specifically ask him, "Why are you doing this?" So that's what we were told. And those girls were speaking directly to the park ranger that was speaking to one of our most senior dispatchers.
The child asking, "Why are you doing this?" The children asking that to the perpetrator.
No, mom.
Mom. Okay.
No. Mom asked, "Why are you doing this?" So dad was stabbed first.
Okay.
And I believe the initial attack was directly in his chest.
Oh God. Okay.
According to the little girls,
mm-hmm.
and there was people that brought them to the visitor center, from somewhere along the path. I mean, from what we understand and looking at the map, they ran pretty far on their own.
I want to go back to the stabbing itself. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, from what you believe in the reporting you got from the kids speaking, that the father was stabbed first. Do we know, I'm not trying to be gory or anything, but how many times? Was this a multiple stab situation? Was this a quick, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I believe so, but I have not been told so. I just, from the sounds of the initial statements from the children, it sounds like they were possibly stabbed multiple times, mm-hmm. but they saw dad get stabbed in the chest and mom told them to run, and she heard him, they heard her ask, "Why are you doing this?"
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said they just ran until they couldn't hear the mom screaming anymore.
Oh my God.
And
so the kids saw this happening is what we understand.
Yes.
They actually witnessed
it. And they did call him a stranger. So to my knowledge, the kids do not know who he was. You never know what they might forget under trauma, but
sure. Has there been anything that you've seen or heard that points to any sort of direction on this guy? If he was just completely random out there and just chose this family, or if this was a targeted attack? I mean, it seems obviously it's insane to begin with, but to do this on a hot summer day in the middle of the afternoon on a very busy hiking trail, this should be a place you're going to get caught if you're going to do this thing. That's why it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Too.
Yeah.
No. And then like everybody's saying, his clothing kind of stood out. People obviously noticed him, but you don't realize what you notice until it's too late sometimes.
Sure. Absolutely. Heartbreaking. This is the composite. This is the composite drawing that was made of the suspect. This is made after exclusive reporting here at True Crime Today when we talked to a couple who was on the trail, who came face to face with the killer. Here's what they had to tell us on Sunday.
So we were out, the four of us. So me, my sister, her boyfriend, and my fiance here, and their dog, my sister's dog, who is a good sized golden doodle,
mm-hmm.
as well. So the five of us, I guess, left Fayetteville probably around 9, got to the park 9:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we hiked a couple trails. I think we did the Yellow Rock Trail first.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished that one and then went on to Devil's Den Trail, mm-hmm. right after that, pretty much. We parked at the little parking area closer to the river, not where the visitor center is necessarily.
Okay. All right.
Went up there. Yeah, very hot. We, drinking water all day long.
Yeah.
I will say that the main thing that probably stuck out, or the reason why, we even think that we came across this guy, is because everyone else essentially was in pairs or in families, really, mm-hmm. for the most part. And, as we're walking, everybody's pretty slow moving and it's hot. It's a little dangerous out there, right? So everybody's slow moving. This guy was head down and full steam ahead, I would say, right? Not really taking in the nature,
sure.
at all. And at this point, we were probably on the section of the trail near the caverns.
Okay.
We had passed the little ice box, and we're going through the cavern section there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just came speeding by us. I think my sister was out in front, and she turned around and looked at me, and he kind of side-eyed all of us as he walked by.
So
really intensely.
Did he come up from behind you, or was he coming towards you?
He was coming straight towards us.
Okay.
I mean, we saw him coming a good minute off, and there's also two directions of the trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of pick which direction you want to go. We went down the riverside first,
mm-hmm.
and then came up. So I guess we were going east.
Sure.
You know, and kind of looped around and the west. So he was walking straight towards us at that point. And again, just really caught us off guard.
Yeah.
He was by himself, mm-hmm. moving quickly. And the thing that, I mean, we all noticed that he side-eyed us, and my sister turned around and looked at me, and I was already making a face and turning around to look mm-hmm. at him, you know, just kind of naturally like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, reaction. Like that was odd.
Was it an inquisitive look? Like did he slow down when he got near you, or was he still kind of, you know, just giving you a look as he's seemingly, would you say it felt like he was on a mission? Like he had a place he was going to?
Yes, kind of. It was, he definitely looked us up and down, you know,
okay.
Like he gave us a good side eye.
Yeah.
He looked at all of us. I mean, I know his eyes were blue,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of bright, kind of blue, sea green tint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had stubble on his face, short brown blonde stubble, short blonde hair, maybe like 2 inches long or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was the look on his face. It was the way he was walking. And then when I turned around to look at him, I noticed that he had a backpack that, you know, I've been sports all my life, all different types. This was not a backpack or like a sports bag that I would have recognized the particular type of sport. You
yeah.
know, it was overly large as well for what you would carry while you're camping,
mm-hmm.
or hiking for that matter. It wasn't right. It was kind of black mesh.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of half mesh, half vinyl plastic material. And I just never really seen one like that. And that caught my eye for sure. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that was kind of one thing that I noticed and made me kind of turn around and look at him like, what is he doing? And
mm-hmm.
my sister is a little bit more, I don't know, emotionally intuitive
mm-hmm.
than I. And she was like, I did not like his energy or anything like that. And,
yeah.
and that was weird. You know, she immediately turned around to try to talk to me about what was that. So
you had mentioned the facial features. You said some stubble. Did you say blonde hair or brown hair?
It was like dirty blonde.
Dirty
like
blonde.
Kind of in between.
Was
right?
he,
you know, dark blonde, light brown.
Was he wearing a hat at the time?
Hair. He was wearing a hat. I would say that it was a dark hat, probably baseball cap style.
Mm-hmm.
I think I recall seeing one of those. It was like a leather patch on the front of it. I think it was something along those lines. I could see it was like, you know, a patch of,
mm-hmm.
or something like that on the very front of the cap.
But how tall would you say the man was?
He was around my height, maybe a little shorter. So I would go 6 foot to 5'10".
Okay. Like what kind of build are we talking about on this guy?
He a little stocky.
Okay.
Not super thin, but definitely not fat. You
okay.
know? So
kind of just average.
A good stocky build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I would consider myself quite a thin, tall guy, and he was, you know, much wider than me.
Did he have anything? Like, did you notice a knife on his body or anything? I wonder if that was in the pack. What did you see? Did you see anything physically on him other than what he was wearing?
I did not see anything in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he was kind of grabbing the, you know, like how you hold on to a backpack when you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding the side, the strap, you
okay.
know, as he was walking by us. I did not see anything, if he had anything in his hands or not. But I tell you, it looked like he had something in his backpack. I mean, you could
yeah.
tell that there was weight in the bottom of that
sure.
bag. It was just, It looked like it had weight in it. And how, I looked, turned around to look at him.
How busy were the trails yesterday? I mean, just for perspective here for folks, today we're at 105 degrees with the humidity. So it was yesterday was very similar. It's a very, very hot day out there. Was there a lot of people on the trail?
There was. We were passing people every 5 to 10 minutes, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. Passing someone passing us going the other direction. You know, we were... Like, again, you can go either way on the trail. So we are passing people. People are coming against the grain. Lots of families. That's the predominant thing, right? Is a bunch of parents, lots of kids, lots of couples. Obviously, you know, the four of us are a couple. Lots of dogs as well. I mean, a lot of dogs out on the trails in general.
Which makes us very odd to take place in the middle of a Saturday in a very busy trail on a very busy day. That's what makes it all the more odd. It seems that this would happen in a place like this. The odds of getting caught are fairly high. Obviously, they now know some information about him. Were you aware of anything that was amiss while you were out there? Did you find this out after you'd already left?
No, yeah, we didn't find out until this morning. Actually, we were going to eat breakfast, and my fiance was looking on Facebook, and we saw a repost of a post that the sheriff's department had made, you know, announcing that there was a double homicide at Devil's Den yesterday afternoon. We were like, "What?"
Yeah,
we left the park at 1:30, and it says that they were reported at 2:30.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would have happened probably around the time. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think, too, what was so intriguing was as soon as we saw that post, I feel like I didn't notice the man as much. I had the dog strapped to me and was just trying to kind of focus on that. But all three of them said, "Do you remember that man?" And we had no idea a description of him yet. We had no idea what trail it was even on. So I think as we uncovered and found out more... It's like, oh man, this is definitely the person that we interacted with, and this is definitely the time frame where we were walking right past him as he went up to this couple. I mean, we interacted with multiple families as we were walking these trails. We interacted with families that had GoPros like on them walking around. And so we all looked back at all of our photos, at all of our videos to see if we could find anything. But it's so eerie to be so close.
Oh God, yeah. So that's what we know. The suspect is a white male, medium build, wearing a long sleeve shirt, rolled up, dark pants, dark baseball cap, sunglasses, fingerless gloves, and carrying that black backpack. That was 4 days ago. Likely he's not wearing that anymore. So the facial aspect is important, as is the physical stature, as well as is the vehicle description that we have put out there for you now here at True Crime Today. The authorities have not yet confirmed the vehicle video that we have been showing to you right here, but here it is again. This is what we believe to be the alleged suspect's vehicle in the Devil's Den murder. This taken privately from a camera near the park at a private residence, showing the four-door sedan speeding away. Just outside of the time of when the murders took place, and the timeline corroborates very well with others who have reported seeing the man recklessly and very, very urgently leaving the park that day. Officials believe the suspect may have sustained an injury during the attack based on witness observations. This was a stabbing. And oftentimes you get injured in a stabbing. So hands are going to be important. If you see someone in the area that may have a little hand injury, matches the description, it'd be best to call 911 if you see that. If you have any information on this case, you are, of course, encouraged to contact the authorities with their now working phone number, 501-618-TIPS, or you can reach out to us here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast, and we can pass that along for you as well if you can't get through to them, because that clearly has been an issue for the last 4 days. Moment of criticism here, okay? And it's going to leave it at that. It's going to be, let's do better. This attack took place around 1:30-ish in the afternoon, somewhere in that area between 1 and 2. It took till 8-something at night, 6 hours later, for authorities to tell anyone in the park full of kids and families on a summer afternoon, sunny, busy, that, hey, there was a double homicide over here and there's a killer on the loose. I want to know. And it would also be helpful so people could have been on the lookout in that fleeting first hours for the man. The ball was dropped. The excuse, bad cell service, rugged terrain, and foliage. Look, I'm just going to say this right now. Cut the BS. No one's buying your BS. They're seeing through you. Let's make this a clear-cut investigation. Let's be transparent. Let's not piss off the community before you find the suspect, because you're well on the way to be doing that. Don't make dumb excuses. Don't say stupid shit. Terrain, foliage, cell service. We're not investigating this like it's 1825 or 1925. It's 2025. I know cell service sucks there. You have radios. You have people moving around. 6 hours is bullshit. I'm sorry. It just is. And not having a working phone number that you can actually answer when people are trying to get you tips for the first 3 days? That's bullshit too. Do better. Okay? I don't want to make this about criticizing the police. Okay? You guys got a job to do. We have a job to do. And that's getting the information out there. And also calling out BS. And unfortunately, it's happening in real time. So how about we just get on track and I don't have to do that part? We can just focus on finding the damn suspect, okay? Deal. This is a heartbreaking case. The community is very much on edge. If you do know anything, please do contact the authorities and let them know. Let us know what your thoughts are in the comment section on our YouTube page, if that's where you're watching us. If you're listening to the podcast, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you download podcasts or on YouTube to find our channel. Hit subscribe and please comment so we know what you're thinking on this. And if you have any information, please, again, like I said, let us know. We'll continue to cover this for you, inch by inch, hour by hour. My name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.